Begin transmission and welcome to Outer Rim Transmission number 35. I'm joined by Ben this week for a couple of big stories, a couple of things we've had on a back burner that we haven't gotten to because we did our commentary for Attack on the Clones last week. So we're going to catch up on that Dark Horse comic news. We're going to catch up on that Sabine casting. But there's been a very big story that is revolving around is Rangers of the New Republic canceled. So we'll get all to that on this week's episode. But before we do, as always, if you guys are watching us live on Fridays at 9 o'clock, you could also listen to us on any of your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you're listening, go ahead and join the discussion live in the chat room on Fridays at 9 o'clock Eastern. So with that being said, how was your Thanksgiving, Ben?
My Thanksgiving was really good. I just had, you know, ate a lot of food all day, pretty much. Watched football, took a nap, spent time with the family. You know, the traditional, I guess, traditional American family Thanksgiving, I guess you would say. And then got a good workout yesterday morning before all of that. So that's always nice, getting a good a lift session in the gym.
Yeah, it was busy in the gym as well yesterday. Just everybody's trying to offset every calorie they can. And of course, earlier today in the gym was just as crowded and busy as we like to see it there. But yes, my family get together was a little smaller, but definitely fun to be had. Definitely so much food, it's ridiculous at times. Like, oh man, and you just see everybody slowly get tired and tired as the night goes on, as we kind of collapse into our food comas. So it was fun, but it was nice to have a day off. You know, every once in a while I get a day off around here, so it's good to just kind of lounge around and be lazy for most of the day. So all around, good times were had.
Oh yeah, for sure. Thanksgiving's always a nice time, and you know, it's funny because as we talked about last week, you know, around the holiday season, you know, we're always the Star Wars people in our families and stuff, and it got into discussion yesterday. They were like, so Ben, when's the next season of Mandalorian? Seeing like, you know, it, I just had to laugh because I feel like that show, sure, the Book of Boba obviously is going to be huge once it comes out. But a lot of people, I feel like the main thing on their mind when it comes to Star Wars live action is still Mandalorian. Like, I feel like that made such a big impact on people with Grogu, with Mando, just the way things are. You know, that's the thing that I feel like really hit the people hard. And it was just interesting hearing some of those comments like that.
Yeah, definitely funny because I've been going through the same thing with some of my coworkers. Like, when's Mandalorian? And I'm like, hey, you're going to be waiting until this time next year. And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, hold on, calm down. So Book of Boba Fett is basically like 2.5 of Mandalorian. Mandalorian season 2.5, right? We're going to branch into a lot of things. Heck, I keep telling people, look, man, I would be very surprised. I'd put money down that Din Djarin's going to show up at some point in the season in some way or another to kind of fill us in on what's been happening with his version of the story, right? But it's going to have those ramifications that are going to play out in Mandalorian Season 3. This isn't just some random show like Obi-Wan or Andor where it literally has nothing to do. Like, this is part of the Mandoverse. So whether you are pissed off or happy for Book of Boba Fett, it's going to be crucial to watch this thing. Like, everybody needs to watch this show. It's not just like, hey, we can skip this. I feel like this is going to be obviously mandatory viewing going into this season here. In just a couple weeks, like literally almost a month away from Book of Boba Fett at this point. So we're eagerly anticipating its release.
Yeah, I cannot wait for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun leading up to it. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it like in future episodes of the podcast, like previewing our expectations and predictions and things like that.
Heck yeah. So out this week, we had four comic books. For whatever reason, I was talking to my local comic bookseller, and he was saying like the Thanksgiving Eve is always like one of the biggest days for comics. Like a lot of the publishers try to get out like their big specials and things around that week. So we have another special out called Life Day #1. It was fun. Contributing four different artists and four different writers on that one. Kind of like a Han Solo story about Life Day with Chewie. And there's some previously told stories, not previously told stories, but like little flashback stories relating to High Republic, relating to, you know, the earlier days in Han Solo's career with Jabba and whatnot. So that was a lot of fun. We also had Trail of Shadows issue number 2, which is that like crime noir kind of investigation of what is happening with something very terrible in the High Republic. So that's really fun. Star Wars Adventures Annual was very interesting, to say the least, because they had my favorite character in all of Star Wars. You guys know it. Jackson the Green Rabbit. He's on the cover, so immediately I was kind of deflated when I picked it up, like, oh, I'm gonna have to read another one of these stories. I guess he's not actually in the entire comic, so there you go. You know, comics have a long history of putting characters on covers that don't appear actually in the text of the story, so there you go. But there are things that were brought back from Legends called Hoojibs, and they are basically like telepathic bunny rabbits, so I found that interesting, to say the least. And there was also Star Wars Adventures issue number 12, which continued a Rogue Squadron and concluded the Rogue Squadron story and had a Lando Calrissian story. So all those can be found in a review that I'll be putting up later this weekend. You know, with the holiday and everything, I haven't been able to get it up at my normal time on Thursday, but rest assured that review is coming at some point this weekend. And I did finish my Thrawn Ascendancy Lesser Evil review. I just plowed through that book. It was over 530 or 550 pages, which is basically 200 pages more than the usual Star Wars canon book. So, man, oh man, did Timothy Zahn really just get to have fun playing in this playground that he created over there in the Unknown Regions, aka, as the Chiss like to call it, the chaos. So, and there was plenty of chaos. There's plenty of foreshadowing that will happen, I'm pretty sure. Mandoverse, hopefully, because that's when we're going to see Thrawn again. I would love to see maybe Timothy Zahn get the chance to write maybe an Ezra and Thrawn trilogy. That'd be really cool if he was able to write that, like, once Mandoverse concludes and all, because we know there's lots of time between if he'll pop up in Mandiverse and when we see him like 2 years before the Battle of Yavin in Rebels going away. So lots of stuff happening on the horizon of the books and the comics. But our first story we're going to bring you guys into is our headliner. And this was found in Empire magazine. They had a nice spread, really cool cover story on the Book of Boba Fett, as they usually do with the different Star Wars movies and shows coming out. And, well, somebody just, like, straight up asked Kathleen Kennedy in this interview that's documented, you know, what's up with Rangers of the New Republic? And she's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, it was an idea, but we never even had scripts or anything written. I was like, oh, wow. Like, my reaction was like, wow, okay, this was not really planned out that far in advance. And then it goes on, and it says basically that at this point they are just going to fold in the storyline from Rangers of the New Republic into subsequent seasons of The Mandalorian. So that is a huge kind of just like drop that Kathleen Kennedy gave to the Star Wars community earlier this week. And it's like, whoa, you know, there's lots of controversy revolving around this, because as we all expected, you know, Gina Carano's character was going to be the titular character in this story. I mean, they were setting her up with the medal that she was given, or the medallion, and she was like literally a ranger when Carson Treva gave her that reward for kind of watching over that one location that I'm forgetting the name of. There's a lot of Star Wars planets, guys, and sometimes I just can't remember them all. Maybe you can help me out with that one. Do you know what it's called, Ben?
No, I can't think of it for the life of me.
Yeah, so this is the big deal, because, you know, there's a lot of people for having Gina Carano's character of Cara Dune coming back. You know, people didn't want her to get fired. A lot of people wanted her to get fired. She ended up getting fired, even though it's still not been publicly addressed by Lucasfilm, since I feel like that's very interesting right there. But that being said, regardless, you know, seeing that, oh, well, there's always a chance they could have recasted the character was the first thing I think a lot of people would have thought of. Like, oh, just recast her, or at the very least just cut her out somehow and continue on the series, but maybe have other characters in the forefront. Maybe have a character like Bill Burr's character kind of step up and be more of a prime suspect in that, or maybe have Carson Trevor's character, you know, he knows about some weird stuff happening in the Outer Rim. I could see him kind of being a forerunner for being one of the main characters, or even having Ming-Na Wen's character in there as one of the characters would be pretty cool, since she was working hand in hand with Gina Carano. So yeah, my thoughts are, man, I am really disappointed by this news. If this is the way they're going, I like the idea of the Mandoverse being that sort of Netflix Marvel model of, hey, we're going to have all these different shows that spin off of Daredevil, and they're all going to come back into this big climactic battle, and we would have like different shows maybe concurrently running at the same time on Disney Plus at one point. Like, it was a lot of grand schemes, and now it seems like we might just be left with Ahsoka and Book of Boba Fett, and we're not even sure at this point if Book of Boba Fett and Ahsoka are going to have multiple seasons. They might just be single seasons and done. But I've done enough talking here. I'm going to throw it over to you, man. What do you think about this whole thing breaking out with Kathleen Kennedy pretty much confirming, for the most part, that this show is canceled?
Well, my thing, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all, like, honestly. You know, we've talked about it before, you know, and we've gotten into it. Like, Star Wars has such a mixed history under the Disney umbrella of just canceling projects. And like, even setting aside, this is my big thing with this too. Setting aside the Gina Carano situation for a second, this could have been canceled just normally, like without the Gina Carano thing. This could have been canceled. It would have not surprised me if they would have canceled it normally, because they have such a track record. We have four or five or six different projects that have been canceled, or, you know, creative differences, you know, whatever the words they want to throw around. So it just doesn't surprise me another project is, you know, basically blasted off into hyperspace, just like many other ones. So it stinks, honestly. It's not surprising, but it really stinks, just because it takes away a potential like avenue for us to watch more Star Wars content. Like, just like we were talking before we hopped on here, I'm not the biggest fan of the Hawkeye show by any stretch so far, anyways. But at least it's something. Like, at least we would potentially get something out of Rangers of the New Republic. Now we're not going to get anything, which really stinks, because, you know, like, it's just taking away Star Wars content, and it's taking away potential characters and like story interaction, et cetera, like all kinds of different things are just off the table. And it also puts into doubt how connected are these Mando shows actually going to end up being? Because if you could potentially cut out that show tying in, you know, is that going to eventually change some of the potential endings for the next season of Mando, potential endings for the Ahsoka show, potential endings for the second season of Book of Boba? Like, now are they potentially rewriting certain aspects of the other shows because they canceled this? Like, obviously, like you mentioned, they're just basically mixing in the Rangers show into Mando, which is fine at all, but still, it makes me just wonder the overarching direction of things, of where this is going to end up actually leading to.
Yeah, right? Because, like, if you're going to have to devote, like, 45-minute episodes, we would assume, you know, 30 to 45-minute these episodes would be, like, the Mandalorian usually is, you know, varying degrees. Like, now is this going to feel like it's kind of condensed? Like, is this story going to be as meaningful? Because you got this whole show just dissolved, and it just feels like it's just like a low blow, because we had all these high aspirations, and it was funny because we were all like talking about, you know, how the films have been really hit or miss as far as getting their feet off the ground kind of thing. And we've kind of held on to the series as, oh yeah, but at least, you know, at least Lucasfilm, man, oh man, the Mandoverse is so tight, so good. Everything's always on schedule, like no issues. And now it's like, oh, now this is happening to the shows. Like, that's the thing that we thought was untouchable. Like, yeah, it's fine. Movies have been doing that for years now. We're used to this kind of bad news with the movies. But, oh, no, not our prized possession of the Mandoverse. Now that we gotta, and you're right, like, they have to, you know, these writing teams work years in advance on some of the stuff with what they have to do. So what is that going to mean? Or they have to change the whole ending of the whole series? Like, I want to know, like, how far out they planned the Mandoverse. I mean, they already confirmed that they're going to have some kind of climactic movie to end it all or something like that. So like, did they have like a general like year to the year plan? Like year one, we're going to do Mando. Year two is Mando 2. And then that branches out into year three, which is all these other spinoffs. And year four and year five. Like, what do they have, like a roadmap? And then now is that roadmap completely just trashed, essentially?
Yeah, see, there's a possibility for that. But then again, there's a possibility for maybe they just didn't have the endings or things of those things, you know, the final product, you know, that they may have had just bullet points and like a general direction they're wanting to head. And maybe they just haven't like got on the highway yet and are heading in that direction, you know, because like at this point, the only indication, I mean, technically on screen, the only indication we have of the Mandoverse so far is just Mando, the Mandalorian series itself. And the only indication of any wider series so far is Ahsoka saying, "Where's Thrawn?" Other than that, we have no indication of what's going on in the Mandoverse, for the most part, anyways. Like, you have little hints here and there with, like, Dave Filoni's X-Wing crew and stuff like that. But we don't really have any indication. So, you know, I can give them the benefit of the doubt of, yeah, like, you know, you do have some flexibility if you're just going strictly off The Mandalorian season 1 and 2. But it makes me a little nervous just because of the whole thing, you know, how you explained all of that. And like you talked about, I mean, heck, even look at the Clone Wars extra season, the Bad Batch, like all the other things that have came out on Disney Plus that are not movie related have all came out on time without a hitch, basically. And, mm-hmm. you know, now we're in this situation and it's like, oh no, now I'm thinking to myself, are we going to be having any, are there other shows now going to get canceled? Like, my first thought was, well, John Campion talked about it. We haven't heard anything about The Acolyte now. What's going to happen with that? Like, you know, is that going to be the next show on the chopping block? Like, what's going on? Like, are we going to start having shows now announced by Star Wars getting canceled later, or just slowly letting, you know, disappear? I mean, heck, even in the movie realm, there's that mystery Rian Johnson trilogy that's mm-hmm. out there that just slowly has faded into the background, and they never announced they canceled it, but they never announced they're going forward with it. So until further notice, like, what's up with that? Now we have, you know, then last week, the Patty Jenkins stuff with the Rogue Squadron, like all kinds of different things. And now it's bleeding over into the Disney Plus series realm, and it makes me nervous because it's like, oh man, are we going to get really cool series now? It's like, what if they come and announce like, oh guys, we're doing a Luke and Grogu series, blah blah blah. Now I'm going to be super nervous because it's like, oh no, is this going to get canceled or something?
Yeah, it's almost like the same thing with the movies, right? Until you see an actual trailer, which means they have done the post-production on the movie already at that point, or most of it, then you know you're in the clear. But up until you see that first trailer, nothing is guaranteed anymore. And that's the state of where we are right now.
Oh, if you want a big example of it, let's rewind clear back to 2014 for our viewers and listeners. Just a fun little homework assignment for anybody listening. Go to the Star Wars' Twitter page, or go to the search section on Twitter, type in @StarWars, and then type in Michael Arndt, the writer. And this is the funny thing. You can pull up the old tweets on Star Wars' Twitter page, and they're announcing Michael Arndt is writing the George Lucas adapted sequel trilogy. That is literally on the Star Wars Twitter page. They still haven't deleted that tweet yet, and it's still on there from like 2014. So even going 7 years back, they've still been canceling things. So it's just, it makes me wonder, like, are we going to get into this with the shows now too? And I'm like, I hope not, because like you said, Chris, I thought the shows were like almost untouchable, you know, just they've all, you know, they filmed smoothly. We never heard any issues about Book of Boba or Kenobi, really. I mean, I don't know. It's concerning to me, I would say.
Yeah, Rob D in the chat is saying, I think it's safe to say Rangers of the New Republic is canceled. And to also kind of soften the blow a little bit, I mean, to be honest, like, we haven't heard anything about this show. So I think if a lot of us even brought up the idea, it's like, yeah, is this thing actually going to ever happen anyway? But this is just kind of like that final nail in the coffin. And the fact that, you know, Kathleen Kennedy herself, president of Lucasfilm, literally said this, it's like, okay, that could be that. It doesn't take much more than that for you to get a confirmation. But he's also chiming in. There's so much canceled Star Wars content. This comes from Rob D. Between canon and legends, Heart of the Jedi, Sword of the Jedi, the Mandalorian novel, visceral Star Wars game. Now I know about Heart of the Jedi, and that was like an Amazon, it was on Amazon, somebody put it on and they took it off, obviously. Like, that was kind of interesting. I do not know about Sword of the Jedi. The Mandalorian novel, that was also very interesting. It was, you know, that was written by Adam Christopher, who is now writing The Secrets of the Sith, or no, that's the other book that I have, the Sith book that's coming out next year, and visceral Star Wars game. Talking about the video games being canceled is probably worse than the movies, honestly. They've canceled more Star Wars video games than any other property at this point. So that's not to be expected. But, I mean, just looking at just the way they're doing things, it's just, I think concerning is the right word here. They've had enough time to figure out what they wanted to do, because this literally happened like a year ago. So... Yeah. I guess they're like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off at this point and just let people know what's happening.
Yep. I do think this, though, to spin it also in a positive direction, I can give credit on this note. Like, you know, I've been real harsh on Star Wars and their canceling, and the way I've definitely been critical of Kathleen Kennedy on her management. I mean, you know, they made a lot of money, but they've definitely managed a lot of things very... very sloppily, I would say. But I can give them credit here. They're at least communicating. Like I said it before, Star Wars is, you know, it's like the person you're in a relationship with and they don't communicate, and then you guys end up breaking up and you're like, what happened? So at least Star Wars is communicating this to us. And especially, I do like the fact that Kathleen Kennedy came out and basically said it, because... you know, they could have just let this leak, you know, to the Hollywood Reporter or Deadline or someone, mm-hmm. or even Empire Magazine. And they could have just let it get out there and, you know, not have to deal with it. Like, so I can totally give her credit where credit is due on that, just because there's been several times where, you know, we've had issues in the Star Wars community. And quite frankly, Kathleen Kennedy has been nowhere to be found. Like, you know, she's, you know, doesn't come out and speak on any of, like, on some of the issues before. So it's good that she was actually acknowledging this and stuff. So I can give her props there for actually communicating this information versus just dodging the question, especially since this was an interview, like in an article. Like, you could have just said no comment or something, or she could have potentially just told him, hey, we're not having that question in this interview, or, you know what I mean? So, like, I can give her props there of actually communicating the information to the fans. So I think, you know, that is a positive takeaway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just kind of wrapping up, like, you know, what do we think that Rangers of the New Republic could be? And I always kind of thought about the Mandoverse as it split off with its spinoffs. So obviously Mandalorian is dealing with Mandalore, the seat of Mandalore, taking it back from the Empire, the remnants of the Empire, yada, yada, yada. Then you have Book of Boba Fett, obviously dealing with the underworld. We're going to get that in a couple weeks. You know, Boba Fett, seat of throne, Jabba's throne, you got that there. You got Rangers of the New Republic, which would be, I think, kind of like just going out and trying to find out more about the Empire, trying to find out about these remnants of the Empire, whether or not it's going to, I think Ahsoka would deal more with Thrawn, but I think this would deal more with Moff Gideon, trying to figure out what's going on there. And then Ahsoka obviously dealing with Thrawn and Ezra. So you would have all these different storylines, but now they're just going to have to pull double duty at this point with what's going on there. But I really did like when they rolled out those announcements on Investors Day, and it was like these different titles. Like, we're so used to the titles of like Andor and Obi-Wan and Solo Star Wars, like all these like character names as the episodes or as the series. And then they were like, Book of Boba Fett. I was like, oh, that's interesting. At least they, you know, did a cool title spinoff of Boba Fett. But then you also have Rangers of the New Republic, and something about it just kind of like resonated with me where I was just like, okay, that is actually pretty creative. It's an ensemble. It's not based off one character. Who are these Rangers going to be? And the way they kind of slowly teased at what they were doing with that storyline in season two. Again, like you said this before, it's not as direct as like, where's Thrawn? Like, obviously, like, that's a huge lead into Ahsoka. They could just, they're gonna have to write off, you know, Cara Dune somehow out of this thing. And yeah, I mean, so do you have any, did you have any predictions or whatever of what you could have thought this series could have been about or who could have been involved in that, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I know there was rumors out there early on. Again, this show wasn't even really in development, so who knows? It could have been just people speculating. I know there was rumors it was potentially like Cara Dune and like Bo-Katan, and then Bo-Katan's like, not minions, I guess, like her hench people, you know, her two, the two Mandalorians that were with her, potentially like dealing with like Imperial stuff, like, you know, like you said, with Moff Gideon. I know there was different rumors of that early on. So, you know, we all for sure, I mean, fully believed, you know, it was Cara Dune's show and then potentially some other side characters. So I thought it was going to be along those lines. Like, I for one, really enjoyed the Cara Dune character. So I was disappointed that her character had to leave Star Wars as a whole, because this is an issue I have with Hollywood today and creativeness as a whole. So obviously, like, the Gina Carano situation is tricky because, you know, it falls into the whole thing of like what people can or can't say. And to me, I think I'm a person who it falls on the side of like, hey, you know, you can be able to say what you should be able to say what you want to say. But if your company or job gives you a warning, which presumably they gave her a warning, like, and said, hey, we don't want you to like represent our brand this way, whatever. And if she basically said, sorry, I'm going to do it, then, you know, they could fire, which to me, you know, if you're a private business owner, which they are, you know, you should be allowed to do that. So I think the firing was fine. I was disappointed in it for sure. Like yeah. So like, I thought that was fine and all, but I was disappointed that the character had to go with the actor leaving. So, you know, we have a big example of it lately. There was a producer or a writer from Marvel who came out and said, Black Panther is not getting recasted. And I'm completely against that, because to me, why, you know, obviously we all love Chadwick Boseman, but why let a character die with the actor, or why let a character die with an actor, even if they don't die in real life? Like, if they move on from the project, to me, like, why are actors bigger than the characters that are on screen? Like the actors don't own the characters. They're basically renting the character. They're playing that character. Like, Mark Hamill is renting Luke Skywalker. Like, he's playing Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker isn't playing Mark Hamill. So to me, it just drives me crazy, because I don't think actors, I think if an actor leaves a project, you have to recast them. Like why jeopardize the rest of the show or the movie or whatever if an actor leaves? Like take Mando, for example. If Pedro Pascal would say, hey, I want to move on from Mando, blah, 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 and he leaves, okay, let's recast him. Like, why let the show die out just because the actor left? Like, that's not the character leaving. So to me, it just drives me crazy that these companies, they let the characters die out with the actual person leaving the project. And I just, it just doesn't make sense that a story does that. And you know, you have plenty of examples over the years. Like, look, we've had a gazillion Batmans and Supermans and James Bonds. And I mean, even in our own Star Wars universe, if Han Solo can get recasted, any character in any movie universe can get recasted.
Here's the thing with that, though. With Han Solo, there is a big age difference, at least like 10 or 15 years there. So I could see them getting away with that from that perspective. But as far as, and same thing with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was recasted because he's playing a much, much younger version. Star Wars, up until this point, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not been a whole lot of live action projects, but there hasn't been anything like this situation. There hasn't been anything where it's like, oh, the same character at the same time is getting recasted. And I think that the issue is with some people I've heard make the argument like, hey, if the character still exists, I'm going to still think of the other actress and the stuff she said and be bothered by it. And just, you know, so that I guess that they people can't move the image of the actress from to the other actress, I guess. And then it just creates the confusion or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally understandable. A lot of that falls on the whole thing of, you know, what can you separate? Can you separate things like that? Because that's like a thing, you know, I'm a sports fan. Can you separate a character, for example, a character on the field, like someone playing on the field, like an actor in this case, playing in a movie with their off the field potential controversies? Like there are plenty of instances where, you know, if an athlete in the NFL has an off the field issue, then they go and play, you know, when they're on the field on Sunday for their game, people are cheering them on and they're not thinking about the off the field issues. So it just, and you know, the reason why is they go out and perform really well. So I feel like when it comes to a situation like this, if you would make, it matters how you would write it and things like that. But if you would make her character, if you'd make the Cara Dune character be really good, have a good story arc, it would work out well. It just all comes down to execution, because at the end of the day, we could, I mean, like take Book of Boba, for example. Like if they don't execute on the story really well, that could just sabotage and bomb that character. Like, you know, it could make Boba look like a bad character. So it all comes down to execution of the story, the actor, the way the character is portraying the actor and everything. And it just really comes down to execution of the story, I think. And I mean, heck, I was a person though early on, I thought Leia should have been recasted for Rise of Skywalker. Like I was 100% in that boat, because I thought, you know, it's almost the same thing as T'Challa. Like, why let a character die out versus getting what we got in Rise of Skywalker? Like, because I felt like her character was going to most likely be more pivotal. I mean, JJ even has mentioned before, like, that was going to be Leia's movie. And it definitely didn't feel like Leia's movie to what we got on screen.
So, yeah, that was a huge one right now. Now, let me interject real quick. Erin Daly did correct me on this one. She is saying that Chewbacca, right? Peter Mayhew was recasted by Eunice Montanamo. Of course, you can't really tell a difference. I mean, you can if you know Chewbacca very well, you could be like, hey, that doesn't look like Peter Mayhew in a suit. But it's not like you could see his face, obviously. So that's that. But as far as the Leia thing, that was a big thing, right? And I'm pretty sure... Not I don't know for certainty, obviously, but Colin Trevorrow was like maybe going a different route with Leia, couldn't figure it out, and that's why they had to get J.J. Abrams in there.
Yep. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And to me, like, it just felt like with some of Leia's stuff in Rise of Skywalker, even, it just felt like so... I mean, it's hard to critique something like that when, you know she's passed on, like, and, you know, they basically have to write the scene around whatever leftover footage they had of her. But, it just felt so robotic. And to me, I would have rather had get a grade A actor in there. Or if you don't want to get a grade A actor in there, get an unknown actress who's the similar age range who can just give us a good Leia. Like, none of us knew Carrie Fisher before A New Hope. I mean, probably most of us listening to this or on this show tonight probably weren't even born. But, I just think, I just, like, with Cara Dune, Leia, T'Challa, whoever it may be, I really think, like, us as a film community and TV community, like, really has to take a hard look. Are we, like, in love with these, like, actors who are playing the characters? Or would we rather have the characters, like, live on? Like, to me, for example, say if... I mean, look at Batman. Like, Batman, for example. How many Batmans do we even have? We have Ben Affleck. We have Robert Pattinson coming out. Mm-hmm. And we have Michael Keaton coming out, which Michael Keaton's my favorite. And the thing about it is, I can still look at all of them and be like, oh, yeah, those guys are different Batman, different actors. But they're still playing Bruce Wayne / Batman. Yeah. And to me, I think the film industry, like the studio, like Disney or Warner Brothers or whoever, I think they sometimes over or underestimate how smart the film community is, because, you know, if you go to a movie, like, you'll have that disjointed moment, like, whoa, that's not so-and-so actor. And then after 5 minutes, once you're into it, you're good. Like, I think they underestimate how smart film viewers actually are. Like, because people, for the most part, go to these movies or watch these shows for entertainment. Like, once you get into the swing of things, you'll forget that that's not Gina Carano or whatever. Like, if the Cara Dune character was doing really well, it would be fine. But yeah. But then again, there's always that risk, because if Cara Dune's character wasn't written well, then it would be like, why didn't you just cut her out of the show? And I could totally see from that side of things as well.
Yeah. Just kind of finishing up the story, because yep. I have something really interesting that just came in. Leia, I do believe there are certain characters that you should never recast, especially given in that time frame. I feel like Carrie Fisher, they did a great job with not going ahead and recasting. I feel like that would have just been way too jarring for a lot of us, because you're talking about somebody's hero. You know yeah. what I mean? Like it's one thing to recast, like, you know, Admiral Yularen or something like that, where it's just like a guy in the background. In his case, he never even had a line. Something like that. Like, okay, Grand Moff Tarkin, you can recast him, no problem. But we're talking about one of the big three. Like, that's where I have an issue with, maybe if they would ever have Alden Ehrenreich playing Han Solo during Book of Boba Fett or something like that, I'd be like, oh, I can't look past that anymore. There are certain characters that for me would just break my immersion and just leave me like scratching my head, you know?
Oh, for sure. I can totally get where you're coming from on that. For me, I felt that way for, I don't know, about 5-10 minutes in the Solo movie, for example. And once I got into it, I really liked it. Solo, I like a lot. I definitely think we should get a second one. And that's what, you know, it concerns me even about, like, the Mandoverse. Like, I 100% think we need a character casted for Mark Hamill to play Luke. Because even with the CGI stuff we've talked about before, that YouTuber getting hired and everything, Shamook, and everything getting, and all of that going on, I think, you know, to really perfect like a recasting, you just have to do it, you know, and I feel like it just comes down to the story. That's mm-hmm. the important thing is the story. Mm-hmm. And if the story and the character arc fits, it will work. And, you know, we'll get into it with a Rebels character later on. But like, I just think some of this, it just all comes down to execution, the way you write it, the way you do it. Like, but I do think, like, to speak real, I don't know, candidly, honestly, I do think a lot of Star Wars's model, which in my opinion is not really a good way to run a company, I think a lot of their model is they read the press clippings. Like, they read, you know, they see what people are complaining about on Twitter. I really do. And the problem with that is, like, you can't keep getting knee-jerk reactions like, oh, people are mad about this. Like, what if people get mad about Book of Boba Fett for some odd reason and they cancel season two? Like, what if they do that? So, like, you know, it just, I feel like they're just riding a wave all the time. I guess if you'd say, in like a surfing analogy, they, you know, they're riding a wave. It's all over the place, up, down, sideways. You're getting flipped off your board. Like, Star Wars never knows which direction in the ocean they're going. And this is just one of those examples of that. And I hope they can find a way to like get back on their board and like stay consistent. But it's hard to have faith in like a lot of their upcoming projects, because it's like, what's going on behind the scenes? Why can't we just get a solidified vision in the company? I don't understand it. Like, under the same umbrella, don't even go outside of the Disney studios. Marvel, Kevin Feige, like, we've had one issue under Kevin Feige, and it was Edgar Wright leaving Ant-Man. Other than that, and he didn't even leave Ant-Man under like hostile things. They just had a mutual like parting of ways, basically, because they had different viewerships of a creative vision, basically, but which is fine. But other than that, Marvel's gone off without a hitch on most of these projects for the most part. And it's because of like Kevin Feige's leadership. And under like the Star Wars umbrella, they're just all over the board. It just feels like a lot of times they don't know which direction they're going. And I hope they get back on track. That's the thing. Like, I may sound really negative about Star Wars sometimes, but I'm saying that because I'm coming from a place of like caring about the brand so much. It's like, I want them to get it right. I want Star Wars to be Marvel. Like, I want Star Wars to be the dominating brand again, like as it should be to me and any of our viewers and listeners out there. Like, can you not think like Star Wars is, if Star Wars was consistent as Marvel, it would be much, much bigger than Marvel. And like, as an overarching, like global reach perspective. And to me, I just hope they start heading in that direction.
Yeah. And, well, I want to switch things over to a very positive thing. And this literally, I was just foreshadowing this. This literally just came out to my attention from the Star Wars Underworld. They tweeted out a clip of a quote from Kathleen Kennedy in the same article from Empire Magazine talking about Book of Boba Fett. And this is, quote, "It's pretty exciting to see what's going to be coming in the next year with Obi-Wan and Andor, Mandalorian, Ahsoka. These projects are also individual and unique in their own way that I think they'll appeal to a wide variety of audiences within Star Wars." So she just dropped the bomb that apparently Ahsoka's coming out next year. And that was something that we didn't really have on the radar because we thought that probably wouldn't come out until 2023 at this rate. So just what we thought that 2022 couldn't get any busier with Star Wars, I think we're literally going to have like 52 weeks of Star Wars coming up in 2022. Because that's, you know, Book of Boba Fett is only going to have one episode in 2021. The rest is going to be in 2022. So you have literally five live action series in 2022, yeah. Not including Bad Batch, which probably will have 16 episodes again. So, yeah, I think they just said, hey, let's just like, we might even have to have overlap at this point. If they're going to have five live action series, I think Bad Batch might be running concurrently while there's a live action series coming out. So this is nuts.
Well, oh yeah. My thing with that though is I want to get too excited on the Ahsoka thing because I feel like Kathleen Kennedy meant that maybe as they're shooting Ahsoka in 2022, maybe that's how I kind of interpreted it personally. But man, if we would get Ahsoka in 2022, that would be absolutely wild.
Well, let's do it right now. Let's kind of do the math. Okay, Book of Boba Fett, boom, that'll run until like February or something. Get Obi-Wan out there in the spring. Get Andor directly after Obi-Wan also in the spring. Then get Mandalorian starting like late September. And then they might be able to squeeze in just like Book of Boba Fett, like with like one episode in 2022 before you go into January. So it's possible, yeah, but they're definitely going to have to overlap something if they're going to try to pull this off. And I know that they were saying like their Disney Plus content is going to be kind of lacking in the first part of 2022. But I think instead of like how it was last year with Marvel holding things down, I think it's going to be like, obviously, like Star Wars is going to be doing most of their work and the heavy lifting for Disney Plus, because I think Marvel's going to have only like three shows next year, I believe. I think it's going to be She-Hulk, it's going to be Moon Knight, and it's going to be Ms. Marvel. I think those are the confirmed, like, but they're probably not going to start until like summer or something, I thought I heard. So
yeah, I think that's not until summertime, I believe.
So I think they're giving Star Wars its time to shine, starting with Book of Boba Fett, and just going to continue until 2023.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think, I mean, we talked about it before. This is a chance we might get into, like, the era of Boba Fett. Like, I mean, look, we have all these different things, like Funko Pop, all this merchandising coming out. You see Boba talked about. And Boba just has the potential to be bigger than Mando because he's, you know, don't get me wrong, Grogu's iconic. Grogu's obviously one of the most iconic things in Star Wars. But Boba Fett's right up there with Grogu, you know? Like, to me, Star Wars, like, your iconic things are, like, the music, Darth Vader, probably, like, a lightsaber. Grogu is up there, and then Boba Fett is right there in that like top five or six things of people like recognizable brands. And to me, Boba has the potential to be like, we could transition away from the Mandalorian show into this being like a Boba Fett era of things.
That is a good way to put it. That is certainly a good way to put it. I mean, about time he gets substance. I mean, the most substance he's ever had is in the Clone Wars, you know, written by Dave Filoni and directed by Dave Filoni. So, again, to see Dave Filoni involved with the character that he started to write for in Clone Wars and now get to see that take place in an area after we're familiar with him in the original films there is going to be something special. And there's going to be a lot of layers that we've never even thought about when it comes to Boba Fett.
Here's something. You want to throw a three-year theory out for you. Think about this. So Boba and Fennec made that promise to Mando about, you know, helping protect the kid and get the kid back and all that sort of stuff, whatever. But what if Boba stays honorable just till the end? What if we get to the end of the Mando series, like the actual The Mandalorian show? What if Din sacrifices himself for some reason or another? You know, at this point, Grogu obviously is not going with Luke. What if Grogu doesn't have a place to go? And what if Boba and Fennec take him in to kind of cap off the Mandoverse? And that'll explain why Grogu's not around during the sequels. I mean,
yeah,
it could be something.
Yeah, I could see it coming around full circle. It's always, you know, Star Wars kind of rhimes and stuff like that. So I could see him trying to channel, you know, somebody channeling George Lucas and be like, we started off this way, let's end this way kind of thing.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You could definitely, and especially with Dave and John being involved. Like, I just think we're heading in that direction, though, where it's going to be Boba-centric. Because once Boba gets kicking off, it'll be huge. And then, you know, Mando, of course, Kenobi. Like, we're heading in a really good direction for like, this whole Star Wars universe. Like, just in general, whether it be the Mandoverse or the era between between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. Like, I feel like we're heading in a really good direction, and it's just a matter of like what projects they put in there, because, you know, there's also heck, we haven't heard a peep about the Taika Waititi movie. Like, what's that about? Is that going to be connected to these shows, or,
I doubt,
you know, these eras? Or I do feel like the Kevin Feige thing is most likely the one. If it's going to be connected to something, that's probably going to be the movie connected. But, you know, we have plenty of potential opportunities. Like you said earlier, like, to start this whole discussion, Chris, they're developing these shows and movies potentially years in advance. Like, we don't know what they have planned. Like, they could have stuff planned, you know, for three or four years out from now, and, you know, it could be all connecting to this stuff.
Yeah. Erin is also saying in here, she has a kind of hunch, like, hey, maybe they'll launch an Ahsoka trailer at Celebration, right? Because if we're doing the math of what comes out first, you know, or doing the predictions, whatever, Obi-Wan might already be out by the time Celebration's going. It might be in the midst of it. You know, maybe they'll launch Obi-Wan Kenobi on May the 4th. I could see that happening. I could see them doing, like, Bad Batch and go right in for May the 4th like they did Bad Batch. They launched that on May the 4th because Celebration, Ahsoka's such a huge character for the fans, like the hardcore fans. So I could see them like holding out on like a glimpse, and they'll kind of pull a Rebels season 3 trailer, and they'll actually show Thrawn for the first time live action, everybody in the audience, kind of like mimicking what they did in that Celebration in London, and people just losing their minds with the red eyes and seeing how that's going to look in live action with Pierce Brosnan playing Thrawn. No, it's gonna be the other guy,
Mendelsohn. Yeah. I was about to say, wait a second, what casting news have I not heard?
No, because the funniest part is that Celebration in 2019, they had like huge mural, beautiful thing depicting every Star Wars property through the timeline. And they had the Rebels section, and it had, obviously, like, a Pierce Brosnan-depicted Thrawn. Like, it's so obvious that it looked like Pierce Brosnan. So that's, like, people keep fan-casting him as Thrawn, like, ever since then.
Yeah. He would be perfect, actually.
Would that, like, be crazy? Like, if you see him instead of Lars Mikkelsen, it's like, oh, wow. Like, this is really exciting. Like, he's in DCU with Dr. Fate and Shazam 2, or no, in Black Adam he's gonna be in, so that'd be cool. But
that would be for sure.
I mean, hey, long story short, hey, maybe we can actually expect a fifth live action series. Who could have ever thought that could have happened, right? We never even thought that a Star Wars series, but that five Star Wars live action series in a single year is just like, it's overload for us. It's crazy. On top of the books, on top of the comics, on top of the video games that we'll probably get next year, maybe a new Fallen Order. It's going to be nuts. Like, this is why we started our Star Wars commentaries, and but it doesn't look like we'll probably get to any of them next year at this rate.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be getting squeezed in by the time we get to episode 9, it'll be time for episode 10.
Yeah, at this rate. Oh man, and we also foreshadowed a little bit, hinted at that there's another story we're going to talk about. This one's a little older. Sabine Wren has been casted in the Ahsoka series, and we knew that would be a given because we've seen, you know, Sabine tagging along with Ahsoka the Gray, as I like to call her, at the end of or Ahsoka the White at the end of Rebels, you know, trying to find Thrawn, and we figured she'd be a character. So this comes to us from Deadline, very reputable source for any kind of entertainment news, and the actress of Natasha Liu Bordizzo is playing Sabine Wren. My initial reaction is, what the heck? Like, how could they fumble this? Like, you have Tia Sirkar right there, man. Like, the girl is physical shape, could work for this character, right? She's got the acting prowess in live action. So, heck, I think she's done more live action roles than anything with more animation. So, I mean, this kind of boggled my mind. And the more I thought about it, the more I was okay with this casting, because maybe Tia just is not like physical enough to do this role, because maybe there's just so much stuff that is happening where they have to have somebody that has maybe more experience working with like combat and stuff. But then I'm thinking as well, like, dude, like, she wears a helmet. Like, you could just throw the stunt double in there and have them do that, and then have her with the helmet off just standing and walking and talking with people. So yeah, at the same point, it's like you got that going on. So we were talking about recast. Us isn't the same thing, because you're going from an animated voice actor to a live action. And we had a bit of this going on with Ashley Eckstein that plays Ahsoka in animated. And we got, obviously, Rosario Dawson. Now, there is a big difference in that one, because why I really like the personality and how she's so forward with the community and bringing people together with Ashley Eckstein, just so supportive of the fans. She is not the right build to be playing Ahsoka Tano. She's a very petite woman, very, very nice woman, but she just, you know, it's in that case, they have to get somebody that's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more physical in that regards. And that made sense with me when it came to Rosario. I was like, okay, I could see that. Like, that's fine. Okay, let's do it. But this one, just especially with wearing a helmet and all, what are your thoughts on this one, Ben?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And the thing is too about like, even if like let's say the Ahsoka thing I'll be real quick on the Ahsoka thing. To me, at the end of the day, when it comes to like Ashley Eckstein versus Ahsoka or versus Rosario Dawson, like, we all love Ashley Eckstein and everything, but Rosario Dawson is one of the best actors like alive right now. Like, she's a great, like, the word great's thrown around too much, but she's, you know, Oscar nominated, you know, she's one of the best actors. Like, when you have an Oscar worthy actor wanting to be in a role, like, you listen, in my opinion, because the Star Wars universe, we don't have that many of them. So it's nice, the fact that Rosario's in on it, and she's genuinely loving it. Like, if you look at her social media feed, I mean, she's been one of our biggest Star Wars leakers for half our stories we've talked about the last few months. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun, like, seeing her excitement and of playing the character of Ahsoka. So, you know, it makes me excited for that series. Now, in terms for this story with Sabine, it's interesting because I didn't recognize the actress's name that was cast. I didn't recognize her. And then, of course, we knew Tia from Rebels. But, like, to me, you know, the more that I got thinking about it, like, at first I was kind of like, it doesn't really matter because, you know, it's, you know, they recasted Ahsoka. But then again, you know, as we talked about it more, like, Ashley didn't really fit the role per se, like the build and everything. And both of these actresses are similar builds, so it's kind of like, you know, did you really have to recast her? And then even as you got talking about it, you made a really good point there. Like, we have in the Mandoverse, like in with Din Djarin himself, Pedro wasn't even in the episode really with Bryce Dallas Howard that she directed in the first season of Mando. Like, she literally said when she was on set, she was like, where's Pedro Pascal? And they're like, he's not here today. Like, you know, and she was directing without him on set because you didn't need him to be there because there was a helmet on the stunt double. So again, that's a really good point that you make, Chris, that like, if you have to have stunt work, just have her have the stunt double and then do the voiceover just like you did with Din Djarin. So, you know, the more that I got thinking about that, it's kind of like, man, I wish they would have just had Tia be in it. But again, I mean, heck, even just a real, like, non-Star Wars related, maybe both of the actors' schedules just lined up, like, maybe Tia's Dina and the other actress did, and they were like, hey, we have to do this show. Like, you know, we have to get the show going. Like, if you can't do it, then we have to just keep it moving because it's, you know, Sabine's not the lead character of the show. So it's not like it's Rosario Dawson saying, hey, sorry, I got something else to do. Like, maybe they're just both, maybe their schedules just align better one way or another. And maybe that's why, actually, like, that could be literally the real world reason why they're not possibly being in it. And, you know, us as fans, it's kind of like, you know, we don't like to hear that because that's like, that's not like a juicy type reason why, but that could for sure be a reason why.
Yeah, that is a good point you brought up. And I think that's probably the most likely of situations here based off of like the logistical things like, oh, this could easily work. This is not just a single show, but a show, as we were saying before with Rangers of the New Republic, that is planned out probably years in advance. One show folds into the other seamlessly. You're not just like waiting around like, oh, she's doing this show that's going to end up in, she's going to be done doing that in March. So we'll just wait until March to start filming. Like, no, like we have to be done filming by March. So we got to get somebody in here now. Like, it really sucks that has to happen. But like, these actors are involved with these contracts that they can't really break with these other things they signed. So it is, like you said, it's not juicy and it's not like sexy or anything like that to be like, oh, they just couldn't come to terms. But this might be a casualty of that, I think.
Well, I mean, that could be the case. Heck, look at the situation going on with the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, don't get me wrong, I am definitely an anti Fast and the Furious person, to say the least. That may be an understatement, but like that franchise, they can't move on. I don't even know what the Rock's character's name is. I forget. But
Hobbs?
Vin Diesel, who? Oh, Hobbs. Yeah, Hobbs. Okay. Yeah. So Hobbs, they can't really like move on from his character. Like Vin Diesel, you know, Vin Diesel and The Rock had this big feud and all kinds of stuff over social media. And The Rock basically said he's done and he's not coming back. Well, Vin Diesel basically came out and said, we cannot make the final movie for the franchise without you in it. Like, and he was basically begging The Rock to come back over his Instagram. Like, he wrote a big public post on Instagram to The Rock, like basically begging him to come back. And the thing about that is, like, that's a situation like, you know, the movie hasn't even started filming. It's probably not even written or anything. So they can just wait on The Rock to, you know, basically maybe make up with Vin Diesel and that sort of stuff. But in this situation with Sabine, like you said, Chris, they might be on a time crunch. Like, we have to get this show done. These shows are slotted in. They have to line up. They have to line up also in sync with our Marvel Disney Plus shows that are coming out and our theatrical releases, because they probably don't want all these shows overshadowing certain movies and things like that. So it's going to be interesting just seeing how they play it out, because, you know, you have this situation where they're on a time crunch. Then like with the Fast and Furious, they're not on a time crunch because they haven't even announced dates for that movie or anything. So they can just keep pushing it till whenever like The Rock would feel comfortable coming back. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out with Sabine. And to me, it's also a tricky situation. Like, it could be the scheduling thing. And then also I look at it and I'm like, man, I do kind of wish Sabine's, I wish Tia could have been playing in it, just because we already have that example of Bo-Katan, of, Katie Sackhoff. We have Katie Sackhoff playing Bo-Katan, and she did an amazing job. Her portrayal transitioned so perfectly. Like I literally thought, you know, when she took her helmet off, it was like, holy smokes, that's exactly what I imagined. That's exactly what I imagined she would look like live action, 100%. Mm-hmm. And she nailed it. She nailed the mannerisms, nailed the everything. And I think a lot of that had to do with what her her actually playing the character for so long. So it made me think, like, maybe, you know, with Tia playing Sabine for so long, like, and being so interactive with the fans and things like that, like, it's like, oh, I wish she could have possibly, just because she could have maybe had those mannerisms down. But then again, we could be in a situation. Look, Rosario Dawson killed it as Ahsoka. Like, she did amazing. And I absolutely loved her portrayal, like, arguably, potentially better than the animated version. So, like, the thing is, it's just, it's going to be an interesting thing just to see how it plays out. But I don't think we have to worry too much, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Dave Filoni is going to be showing her all kinds of the clips of Sabine. And, you know, they're going to be, like, really going over her mannerisms and things like that. I think it'll be done really well, for sure.
Yeah, and just before we transition, I do want to kind of point out things that Bordizzo has made. In the past, she's debuted as Snow Vase in Netflix's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. She also starred on the streamer series The Society and in the 2019 film Crazy About You. Her feature and credits also include The Voyeur's Detective Chinatown 2, Guns Akimbo, and Hotel Mumbai. She'll be seen next in Day Shift. So there you go. I have not seen a single one of those projects.
I've actually seen Hotel Mumbai. I'm pretty sure that's I feel like I watched that in high school, actually. Like, that was actually based off of, like, real events. Like, that was biographical movie, but, like, you know, like, portrayed, like, off of real events that happened. But it's been ages since I've seen it. But I have seen that movie, actually.
Cool. Yeah. This story was something I wanted to talk about as a comic book fan, so I had to bring this one up. And you've already probably heard the news that Dark Horse Comics is creating Star Wars comics again. So we got the word from StarWars.com. They are stating that Dark Horse Comics, you know, they had the publishing rights for the Star Wars comics after Marvel lost them or decided to give them up. I'm not sure on the situation is that. But Dark Horse had the comics from the early 1990s up into the buyout of Lucasfilm by Disney in, like, 2014. So they started off basically with the Crimson Empire, but the Dark Empire. Is that what it's called?
Dark Empire?
The comics?
Yeah, the Dark Empire line.
Yes, yeah, so that was with, you know, Palpatine coming back, which apparently had a lot of stuff to do with that they pulled from for Rise of Skywalker. But this is the interesting thing. So right now there are two publishers for Star Wars comics. There's the all ages, you know, geared toward all ages, but a lot of it is for the younger crowd. That is the IDW comic line. They have things like Star Wars Adventures and Tales from Vader's Castle and the High Republic Adventures and all those comics. But then you also have Marvel, obviously, that has been doing the Star Wars comics as well since 2015. Now, they're in charge of the more of adult comics. So you're going to have a lot of blood and gore and more horror and stuff like that in those comics. So that's not changing. Marvel's still doing them. However, we had found out a couple weeks or maybe even a couple months ago at this point that IDW is basically losing the license for their Star Wars content starting in, like, January or February. So everybody's been kind of like, okay, we have all these different comic lines like Star Wars Adventures and the High Republic Adventures that are going on. Now, in this report, it says that Dark Horse Comics is going to be doing the all-age comics. So it seems pretty easily to connect the dots here that IDW has lost it, whereas Dark Horse is basically going to be producing what IDW has, all-age comics. So they already confirmed they're doing High Republic stuff first. So hopefully we'll get some kind of iteration of the Padawans that we see in IDW comics, like, you know, different characters like Talos Solo and all these other people running around like court. And they also said they're going to be writing comics up into the Rise of the First Order. So basically anything between High Republic and Rise of the First Order, which is what we've already been dipping into anyway. But a lot of people are really happy with this because Dark Horse is what they grew up on. Me personally, I don't have any kind of longing or any kind of nostalgia for this because I really wasn't into comics until Marvel got the license back in 2015. I mean, I have a couple issues here and there of just random comics, but it's nothing like sentimental to me at all. I did realize today as I was going through my comics that the Shadows of the Empire trade paperback is published by Dark Horse. So I was like, oh, so I can say I've read a Dark Horse comic. So that's pretty cool. But as far as this news, what do you think about this, Ben?
Oh, I think it's excellent news. And the good part about it, you know, of course, I'm like one of those people with nostalgia too. Like I'm excited. I'm really excited because I read the Dark Empire comics and things like that. So that's super exciting. And I think it's really exciting because Dark Horse and Star Wars were trending the other day when this news came out. They were like, you know, like the 10th or 11th, whatever. Like they were in like the top 20 trending topics, like in the US, like it was getting talked about. So like, it's so cool seeing Star Wars trending, but not trending because of a video game or a movie. So I think it's a good sign. Dark Horse has a really good track record. So I think it's a good sign for Star Wars as a whole. And who knows, maybe they will be the ones to cover the Palpatine stuff because it's up to the Rise of the New Republic, did you say?
Yeah, up to the the First Order?
Or the Rise of the First Order, my bad, yeah. The Rise of the First Order, maybe they'll cover some of the Palpatine stuff to fill in the blanks that... And potentially do it properly and fill in the blanks that the movies may have left open ended.
Yeah, it's interesting because like people really want Dark Horse to do like the edgy stuff that they used to. So like the news that Dark Horse is getting a license back, like people are getting excited, but I don't know if they're looking at the fine print, so to speak, because it's like, guys, these are all ages comics. Like if you've been reading IDW. You kind of already know what to expect because Marvel has the exclusive rights to do anything they want as far as like whatever kind of content, as edgy as it is. I mean, they have Boba Fett just point blank shooting a girl, like bounty hunter. And people were really, really perturbed by that. But then that got resolved later on in the storyline. So you know, people are excited, but, you know, kind of temper your expectations because this is going to be Dark Horse probably like you haven't really seen it before. I know there's a lot of people out there kind of shouting out their favorite writers and their favorite artists, but that's not a guarantee that they'll come back either. So just temper your expectations. This is going to be kind of the stuff we're used to from IDW, I think. I mean, yeah, different creative teams and all, but it's still like they can only work on certain things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, see, that's the thing, too. A lot of those people may have moved on, you know, from the projects. Like, they may have just moved on from the trades and all of that. So maybe, you know, we may not be getting some of them back. But I feel like if the leadership, depending on who's there in the higher part of the leadership, I think there's a chance that it'll go in a good direction. And, I mean, hey, they were so innovative, so creative and everything when it came to the new... You know, the new, I guess, direction they did with Emperor Palpatine with the Dark Empire line. Like, maybe we'll get a really cool direction of something. Who knows? Maybe between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, or, you know, between like one of these timelines like we're not used to seeing. Maybe we get something along those lines. So it could potentially be a really cool setup, I think, honestly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this story just came in by you. You actually recommended a story last minute here. For a show that we didn't have much to work off of as we are recording this, we are getting some cool stuff to talk about. And I will preface this, like, I didn't really look into this person at all. Apparently they are, this relates to Battlefront, a proposed Battlefront 3. This comes from comicbook.com. They're stating their sources... a leaker that was well known for EA stuff and whatnot, Electronic Art projects. Their name is Tom Henderson at, you know, underscore Tom underscore Henderson underscore. Battlefront 3 was a pitch title from DICE, but ultimately the title was shot down by EA due to licensing costs. It got turned down because it takes 20% more sales to make the same money, said one past developer. So that was a really interesting thing because, you know, Battlefront has had a very rocky history at EA. And I'm talking about the recent Battlefront. Like, the first one got railed because people didn't think it had enough content at launch. It was just multiplayer strict only. It was, you know, time to be out there in 2015 to kind of be for the big push of the resurgence of Star Wars. Hey, we want to have a game out to support a movie, you know, sort of thing. Game mechanically, the game was fine. The gameplay was fun. It's all it really needed to have, but didn't have a lot of bones. And people were pissed off because, you know, oh, where's the single player? Like, every Star Wars game should have a story, a single player. And then they rectified that with Battlefront 2 2 years later, had the full suite. They had the Separatists. They had the Galactic Republic. They also had, you know, the original trilogy, and they had the sequel trilogy. So it was like, wow, this is the full deal. And there's a really awesome cinematic single player Inferno Squadron story. And then they botched it up with the microtransactions. And before the game even officially launched, during a pre-launch, you know, it was basically pay to win. Like, you could buy star cards, make your guy more powerful. And then they were backpedaling for like 2 years before they finally just canned the project. And I've been seeing other things coming out recently about, and again, I'm not sure if these are verified sources or anything, so take this with a grain of salt. Like, they had Ventress, they had Ahsoka, they had all these like planets and stuff that were planned, but it's like, why would they pull the plug now when they could have had this, like, you know, the Halo Infinite just came out, and it's a live service game. Like, that game's probably gonna be going on for several years, because they have the platform and they just, you know, increase content. Games like Apex Legends, Fortnite's been out for 5 years or something. That's still going on, the same exact game. So they could have gotten away with that, but something happened, and I don't know what the story is on that. Maybe it'll come out eventually. Of like, why did they just cut ties with Battlefront 2 all of a sudden? And now this article that you brought up here is like, yeah, we know that it's hard to work with EA or hard to work with Lucasfilm for a lot of reasons, but the fact of like, oh wow, like, yeah, they have to basically make like the all the licensing for DICE to work on, they have to pay the certain amount of money to Lucasfilm, which is very high. So I could see them being like hesitant on making Battlefront 3 because they're dealing with the baggage from Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2. Like, oh, are people going to buy this game after what we did before with it? But the thing is, like, the game got really good graces with the gamers, because by the end of Battlefront 2, like, if you play it today, you'll be like, if you didn't know anything about the prior drama, you'd be like, oh, this is a really great game from top to bottom. It's got so many multiplayer modes. The single player is really good, and it's a really fun time, all the different characters. But I guess, you know, Battlefront 3 just couldn't be what it could be because they don't feel like they're going to make the money. There's too much of a bad taste in gamers' mouths, maybe, but they've been getting better because, like, EA in general has put out Mass Effect, Andromeda Trilogy. They put out Fallen Order, which has been incredible. They put out Apex Legends. Battlefield 2042 is not looking so hot, but other than that, EA, I think, has been winning back the praises of the gamers. But this is just something that, again, is disappointing, knowing that there could have been a Battlefront 3 that I'm playing on my brand new Series S right now.
Exactly. That was my big takeaway. I actually had just, this article was just sent to me by a friend of mine, so shout out to him. But anyways, I think this, it's disappointing, because to me, Battlefront as a whole, it's the Star Wars property I want to work so badly, because, you know, we all want to just hop onto a Star Wars game and go explore the Star Wars universe. Like, you know, obviously get into a battle and stuff. So, like, that's my thing. That was like the feeling of excitement I had with the original Battlefront in like 2002, and then the original one in like 2000, the Battlefront 2 in 2005, and then the first one under EA to me was just kind of like a flop, because it was just, you know, as you said, the multiplayer, there wasn't enough campaign or enough content. And then the second one came out, and at first, you know, you had those microtransaction issues, but the campaign was amazing for it. I love the campaign. And then, like you said, though, the game Battlefront 2 nowadays is totally different than what it was when it released originally. Like, it's completely different.
Yeah.
So that's like a big thing, I think. And then it's just, when it comes to EA as a whole, like, you know, I have experience with them because I play Madden, and they're a company, like, when their games, I feel like, get harsh reputation from the fans, like, the fans never let it go. Like, they will never, ever let it go. Like take Madden 22, for example. When the game first launched, it was really, really bad. Like, you know, for anybody who plays football, there was no defense. All you'd have to do is just step back, throw the ball, and it was an instant touchdown. There was no matter what you did, you could stand in front of the wide receiver and it would be a touchdown. So, like, now, though, the game's been patched, it's been fixed, and you can play the game just fine, and the game plays fine. But you go into any comment section under the Madden post, and it's all just people ripping the game to shreds. And, you know, people just can't let it go when it comes to EA. And, like, with Star Wars, you know, you mix in that, like, the EA crowd with the Star Wars, you know, how like, you know, us as Star Wars fans can get sometimes, like, that you're asking for, like, a potential hostile situation. So, like, I don't know. It's just disappointing because I really wanted Battlefront 3. And also, I was hearing the same things too, Chris. There was a potential, like, Ahsoka and Ventress, like, campaign or storyline or something going on with that game.
Yeah, and now that it's thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I'm thinking about it more and more. All that content they had, like, what happened with Battlefront 2 was they had to build back the trust of the gamers. So they basically said, okay, everything's free now. Everything that is coming out, which is what they should have done. Like, I don't blame them for doing that. The problem is, after a while, you have to pay your developers. If there's no money coming in, like, how are you going to pay the developers? I would have happily paid, and they had something for the original Battlefront. I think there was a season pass for the original Battlefront, because I remember paying for it. They had, like, four DLCs. I would have happily paid for, like, if they released, like, their content drop, like the Clone Wars drop. Like, I'll pay, like, $5 for Anakin. I'll pay $5 for Obi-Wan. That's not a problem. I want to see the game continue. Yeah. Because, and somebody tweeted this out the other day. They were like, I think it's crazy that in today's world with all the different, like, live service shooters, how is there not a live service Star Wars game going on right now? Like, that seems like such a cash cow, right? Charge for the skins. I know they were all earnable in Battlefront 2, but, like, screw it. Just, like, charge people for the skins and charge for additional heroes if you have to, because people will pay it and the game could still live on. But when they have no monetization, they had literally had no monetization in Battlefront 2 after that fiasco, and that just completely just derailed the game, I think.
Oh, completely. Well, talking about, like, transactions like that for skins and stuff, I would pay $5 for an Anakin or an Obi-Wan, or if they gave me a Thrawn skin or something, that would be pretty cool. A Thrawn skin, or even a Bo-Katan. Bo-Katan's armor is awesome. Like, I would gladly pay to play as her character. And the thing about that, I have a big example of that just literally 2 days ago. So on Fortnite, my cousin plays Fortnite a lot, and he's a big anime fan. And they just released all the Naruto characters skins on Fortnite. It's either, you know, you can buy, like, they released, like, 8 of the characters. You can either buy, like, 4 of the characters for, like, $20, or you could buy, like, all 8 of the characters for, like, $35 or something. So he spent $35 and bought all 8 of them because he was like, I love this show. I love these characters. And I don't care that it's just skins. Like, it's something I want. But the thing is, with Fortnite, you could still play it for free. You don't need those skins. So, like, Star Wars, they need a live service game like that. Like, it would be a lot of fun. I mean, that's probably all I would be playing, honestly, if Star Wars had something like that.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I'm saying that as a Star Wars fan, as a gamer, like, Star Wars, EA, like, whoever the company may be, release a Star Wars game like that, and all of us Star Wars fans, we'll forget all these other games we play, and we'll just play that, basically.
Yeah, like, I this is very pertinent to this to the conversation.
Yep.
The Xbox is celebrating 20 years, right? They have a lot of cool things going on. One of the coolest things they have going on right now is the Xbox Museum. It's literally a virtual museum where if you log in xboxmuseum.com or something like that, you log in with your Xbox user information and it'll give you like a little avatar. You get to like walk around a virtual museum where they'll have like videos and stuff where you like see other people like walking around other avatars and stuff, and you get to like look in front of like the things and look around. It's really cool. And they have like one section for like all your personal achievements. So you could be like, hey, what was like your gamer score? And when did you play your system? And when did you first turn it on? All this stuff. And one of them is like the most played game of all time. My most played game of all time was Star Wars Battlefront 2. Like,
yep.
It's like, come on. Like, I must have spent 300 hours in that game. And it's not even a game that requires you to like grind or anything like that. I just did it for the fun of it. The mechanics were really fun. And I just loved just jumping in, killing stormtroopers as Ewoks and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't take much, but I think the best way they can remedy this, create a Red Dead Redemption 2 pseudo online multiplayer game, and that's going to be hopefully what Ubisoft is working on right now. I really hope that Ubisoft's open world game is going to be something that everybody's been screaming for. Just give us an open world Red Dead Redemption 2 styled game in the Star Wars universe.
Exactly. We need something like that. And the cool thing about something like that is, sure, it's a game you'd have to make an initial like $60 purchase for it first, but make it like Fortnite where it updates, like you know, you could do different seasons within the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and it could just go indefinitely. Like you could just keep updating it. Take Madden, for example. They have new seasons every like 60 days, basically. They have every 60 to 90 days, there's a new season in-game where you can earn new rewards, new levels, new things, whatever. And that lasts clear until the next game comes out this, you know, August of 2022. Like, it literally lasts for a calendar year. So, like, Star Wars could do something like that, but it could just be, like, indefinite, like, a new season. Like, Fortnite, I mean, like you said, Fortnite's been out for whatever, 5 or 6 years. Like, if they do something like that with Star Wars, fans would eat that up, because like us as Star Wars fans, look at all the games we play. We play, like, we'll play some sports games, but a lot of us will play like games like Halo or Call of Duty or Red Dead Redemption. Like, those are type of games that have so much online, I guess, buzz. I mean, look, as of late, the main buzz that you see right now in terms of gaming is Halo Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the mode on Call of Duty? Warzone. Like, mm-hmm. You see Warzone getting talked about a lot. Like, those are the big things. Like, why can't Star Wars put their foot in the door and be like, hey, we're going to dominate this conversation with an awesome online, like, you know, live action, like, shooter experience, like all these other games do. And, you know, hopefully that we get in that type of a direction. Like, I mean, just imagine a Star Wars game, like, in the vein of, like, Halo, but it'd be like in the Mandoverse where you're a bounty hunter or something. And you have, you know, instead of, like, having Jedi or anything, you know, we don't have to worry about having Jedi in it. Or potentially, even if you don't have Jedi in it, it could be like Halo does. And, you pick up a lightsaber like the swords in Halo. Like,
yeah.
maybe just have lightsabers be equipable weapons on the map when you're in like the battle royales and stuff. Like,
oh man.
Like, I hope we get to a point like that, because that would be amazing to have a big, you know, all out like 16 person match with, you know, you see lightsabers swinging around, blasters, like all kinds of stuff happening. Like, it would be wild. That is like the dream. I hope we get to that point. And like you said, maybe Ubisoft is going to lead us in that direction.
Yeah. So we're going to remain hopeful. We got a lot of stuff on the horizon, but we don't know when it's coming out. And with the games industry, every other week I'm hearing about, hey, this game got delayed. Hey, this game's going to be coming out later. I mean, a good thing from my perspective is I have a huge backlog of games. But again, I think Star Wars games should be at the forefront of most conversations. They have always been kind of ones to spark that. You know, Jedi Fallen Order was the last big game that we had. Well, Squadrons was fun for a little bit, but it didn't have a long staying period, I feel like. So So Lego Star Wars is next. We'll see if it sticks to that spring 2022 late.
Oh, here's a fun thing for our listeners about Lego Star Wars. I forgot to bring this up to open the show for my weekend Star Wars. So my cousin put together, we found at a Goodwill. It was a Lego Advent calendar from Star Wars from like a year or two ago.
Oh yeah. I do those.
And this is the funny thing. The Lego Advent calendar. So, you know, they would have had to make that if it was coming out last December, they would have had to make that it wasn't even last December. It was a year old thing. It was like from 2019 or 2 year old thing. It was from like 2019.
I've probably had that one, yeah.
Yep. So if that was coming out December of 2019, that means it would have had been made like a few months before that. This is the greatest thing in that Advent calendar. You can scan the code. My cousin scanned it and it saved to like his like Microsoft account or something. It's an eligible redeemable thing for a Darth Vader with a Santa hat and like a Santa vest on for a character in the Lego game.
Oh, I know.
But this is the kicker. Yeah, this is the kicker. Inside the box, it says holiday like 2020 or whatever for like the release date of the game. And I was like, holy smokes. Like,
gosh.
It literally says that. My cousin sent me a Snapchat and was like, dude, look at this. It literally says holiday 2020. It was the release date for that game. And look at us now. We're in 2021.
Like, what the heck could have happened where they had to delay it like almost 2 years? When like the packaging was all ready, everything's like out the door. It's like it was like the midnight call. Delay the game, you know, just like what?
We're delaying the game. I forgot to bring that up earlier on, but yeah, so like that's just a fun little story for our listeners. Yeah. So there was a game that was supposed to get released last year and we're still without it. So it's to be determined at this point.
one final news story I just want to touch upon. We don't have to take much time on this one. Because I think he's already won one. We have Ludwig Göransson, composer of The Mandalorian. He's got a Grammy nomination for season 2 of The Mandalorian. So there you go. Did he win already for season 1? I believe he did. I don't know if it was a Grammy or...
I'm not sure, honestly. I thought he lost in the first season of Mando. Because I thought it was to one of those bigger name shows, whatever other shows that were on at the time, like not sci-fi shows like Mando, but there's another show. Was it Ted Lasso? No. I feel like there was another show that won it, but it's good that he got nominated. I think there's a chance he'll win. Oh, wait, I thought he lost to The Boys composer, maybe.
Oh.
I thought they did
have good music on that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's who it was. But either way, it's great seeing Star Wars get recognized again and like him getting recognized. And I hope, honestly, with this nomination, we need him on a Star Wars movie. Like, don't get me wrong, we all love John Williams and stuff. And the other composers we've had on the Star Wars theatrical
Michael
releases.
Michael Giacchino.
Yeah, Michael Giacchino. Like, we love those guys. But to me, like with Star Wars, it always feels like, I know this sounds like negative, but it always feels like Star Wars, like a lot of times does like, hey, the TV guys stay in TV and like the movie guys stay in movie. Like it just seems like it seems like there's always like a hard line. Like I would love for Ludwig to like get into like the movie aspect of Star Wars, like maybe in like the Feige movie or the Taika Waititi, maybe the Taika Waititi movie, you know, after being connected with the Mando shows. So, hopefully we get Ludwig and that, and then it's just great, you know, got more recognition. Like that's always a great thing to see him, plus, you know, just Star Wars as a brand get recognition for like being successful.
Yeah, definitely. And Aaron Daly in the chat, and we also have Geeksack. Hey, what's going on, dude? My buddy Matt is in the chat. Geeksack, you got to check out his reviews. He also reviewed Thrawn. And we gave it the same exact score, spoiler warning, so go check out his review. Aaron's saying, did you guys hear that the $800 collector's edition AT-AT Lego has a free Lego Luke Skywalker lightsaber for Black Friday? Now that sounds cool, because like I guess I'm guessing that's like a full-fledged like Lego lightsaber. Yeah, you're gonna have to check that out. Look it up. See about
yeah,
that.
let me.
That's like a to scale Lego lightsaber. I've never even seen one before, but that'd be sweet
No.
because I mean, $800 is a very steep price for Legos. But I feel like Legos is getting more and more expensive. Like I don't mind like looking at them, but I probably never will buy a Lego set again. I just don't have the
Oh yeah,
room to
like.
display it, honestly.
Oh yeah, my cousin, he's really getting into Legos. Like he's probably spent like $300 on Star Wars Lego sets in like the
Oh
last
yeah.
month and a half.
Oof, okay.
And I'm like, holy smokes, dude, slow down. But yeah, Star Wars Legos, I love seeing them get like recognition because to me, like growing up, I love Star Wars Legos. Like I've said before many times, I had pretty much every Star Wars Lego set that was available if you look up from the late 90s and early 2000s. Like I pretty much had all of those things. So it's just really cool seeing new sets like that. It is neat that they're actually doing a big AT-AT set. Like the AT-AT is like a classic, you know, a really classic
Yeah, and what I like,
ship from Star Wars.
what I like about it is I believe in this one. They must have heard our criticism of the Republic gunship. I believe they're actually including like a ton of minifigs with it, because that's my huge major criticism. It's like you buy like the $500 or whatever it is for the Republic gunship, but it gives you like one character. It's like, wait a minute, I'm spending several $100 and you're gonna give me one minifigure? And they're like, their idea is like, oh, well, you could just buy those aftermarket or something. It's like, huh? Like, I'm not gonna sit
Well,
there and have to buy these piecemeal figures to make this thing look cool.
yeah, or you don't even have enough. Well, the thing about that is too, you don't even have enough figures to man the gunship. Like that's the big thing. Like if you're gonna buy that big of a Lego thing, at least have enough figures to occupy the potential empty spaces, like as if you were gonna play with the Lego set, you know? So like that was a big critique of mine. I know my cousin's been looking at, speaking of this Lego talk, my cousin's been looking at, it's like $1,000 or something, but it's literally like a 3.5 foot Star Destroyer, like
Oh,
a big
my
Lego set. It
friend
literally.
has something like that. And this was
Yep.
back in like the late 90s or the early 2000s. Like we were just kids back then, but I remember it took up like his entire dresser. Like this thing is literally, it looks like a prop from the movie, like how large the props are when it would film them. It literally looks that big. Granted, I was a little tiny kid back then, so I might be blowing this out of proportions for my mind now, but it's like even back then, the scale of this thing was just, I was like, how the hell did you build this thing and how long did it take you?
Yeah. Oh yeah, my cousin was looking at that. Like I said, it's been fun like seeing him get into these Lego things like this. Like I said, Lego's always a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, so you did send me that image and I got a chance to look at it. That is so cool. So for those of us that are listening, basically how to explain this thing is it's literally just the hilt of Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. I'm guessing it might be to scale. And it's on like a nice black decorative stand, but it's neat. Like, 'cause like I said, I've never seen a lightsaber hilt quite like this. And the fact that they just kind of drop this out of nowhere, like they're like, oh, by the way, you get this. It's like, ooh, free stuff with my purchase. You know, that's super exciting.
Oh, for sure. Like I think it looks really cool. Like I think it's a really good it's a good marketing idea. And I mean it goes with the AT-AT too, you know? Like that's the lightsaber Luke used with it. So I think it's really neat. Also, side note, I do think the AT-AT looks really cool though. Like I really love the look of that. I mean, the crazy part to me with these Lego sets, man, they are looking more and more realistic than they were than when, like, if you look at the ones that I had when I was a kid, like they were definitely not looking this realistic back then. So, it's just crazy seeing how good they look.
Yeah, and I like how this one is so interactive. Like, this is basically a play set because you could take off like the sides or fold the sides up or whatever it's like. And there's several compartments for like your troop transports. And this would get my imagination flowing, right? Because like they would have the resource books for the Star Wars movies where you could see like the insides of the vehicles and stuff. And like they really played to the really nitty gritty details, because even in the back they have two stowed away speeder bikes, which is just such a cool detail. Like, you got the speeder bikes, you got the pilot compartment, then you have like the upper and the lower part of like the seated area where the stormtroopers are. But then I'm thinking, like, when I played through Jedi Fallen Order, when you go to the assault on Kashyyyk, you get to climb up to an ATA and you get to actually go inside of it. So I'm guessing they must have also consulted with Respawn Studios and was like, hey, what's the inside of an AT-AT look like? Because they got it pretty spot on from like playing through the game.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. Like, I'm not going to get this item, but I definitely would want to, like, if I had the space for it and just like disposable income for a big Lego set like this, I would definitely get it. Like I said before, like, I wish, like, if I had a, well, like, whenever I get a big house someday or something, you know, if I could, it would be so cool to have like a Star Wars room, you know, with all of these type of like things set up. Like, I have a buddy of mine. He literally has a Funko room in his house.
Oh, my gosh.
And I am not exaggerating to the least. Like, he literally has Funkos. Like, all four of the walls in this room are in Funko Pops to the ceiling, like 8 foot high or whatever. And he said it's like $8,000 worth of like Funkos or something, or $7,000 worth of Funkos, like, in that big room. Gosh. And it's absolutely wild. Like I would love to have something like that. One of my other friends, he has like, he's basically developing, like, you know, he went to school for like movie prop development and things like that. And he literally has made like the full cantina from A New Hope pretty much in his basement. Like, that's his actual bar in his basement with like a refrigerator and everything. Like, it's an actual like usable cantina. So like, it's cool seeing people do things like that. And like, these type of items like this AT-AT, you know, could just add to those things.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're gonna wrap it up there for this week's episode. But we had quite a smorgasbord of topics, whether it be casting news for a live action series, to some video game news, to some comic news, to some collecting news. We pretty much covered most of the major bases in the Star Wars multimedia approach there. So once again, you guys can follow me at Star Raptor on Twitter, and of course on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/StarRaptor. If you're listening, you can check us out there live. This week, as I mentioned, I have my review for Thrawn Ascendancy Lesser Evil, which completes the Thrawn Ascendancy trilogy. So make sure you go ahead and check that out if you haven't already. And also, chime into today's discussion. Let us know what your reactions are to a possible cancellation of a Star Wars series, to a recasting, to all this other good stuff. Let us know what you think. And I'm going to throw it over to you, Ben. Where can the people find you, and what have you been up to?
I've been just playing my new Xbox Series S, hanging out. Had a good Thanksgiving week, as we said before. And probably just going to be watching the Hawkeye episodes again this weekend, just to give the show another chance, at least try to. And then I'm going to just probably be catching up on shows while, you know, the family's out Black Friday shopping and shopping all weekend for that. So, yeah, it's just going to be a pretty good relaxing weekend for the most part, you know. So you can find me talking Star Wars and fitness and sports, basically, are the only things I talk about, at Real Ben Maynard on Twitter and Instagram. And also, don't forget to give Milton a follow as well, at MiltonWeber7 on Twitter.
Yeah, Milton actually was in the chat at one point. He was busy tonight, but at least he was able to chime into our discussion with the whole cancellation of Rangers of the New Republic. So we hope to see the full crew back for next week. So for I, myself, Star Raptor, for Ben, this was Outer Rim Transmission number 35. Thank you so much for watching, and bye-bye. End transmission.